renewing, when you look up the Greek word, it means renovate.
Yeah. So I've been working on this. Me too.
But the thing is, the renovate, I just renovated my house. That's good. So the whole point is, when you rid of everything.
How do you renovate? Yeah.
Well, you get rid of everything in your house, but what's the next step? Something you have to put new things inside.
Back, yeah.
Yes.
So I think it follows along with what you're saying, because it's when good. We get rid of the old, the Holy Spirit comes in, and that's the new.
It's a shaping of your mind, which is an active thing that we continually do by being in the Word and obviously serving and having community, all these things.
Is there a connection between renewing the mind through the Word, which is implied there, and the Holy Spirit? Is there a synonymous connection? And there is.
Welcome to the Forgotten Jesus Podcast. I'm your host, Adam French. I'm here with author and Dr. Robbie Gallaty, pastor of Long Hollow Church.
Yes, sir.
And Candy Gallaty, who's also a speaker. And we just came off of Mother's Day.
Yep.
No, just kidding, not Mother's Day. Yeah. Let me start that over.
No, that's part of it. No, we don't start over.
Okay. Yeah, let him start over.
That's what Andrew, when Andrew used to mess up.
It's Mother's Day. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It was Candy, Mother's who is a mother. Enough. Yesterday was her birthday.
That's right. What threw you off.
That threw me off a little bit.
She's a mother on Father's Day.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. So Josie has a gift card, right, that she hasn't used. I couldn't buy. Right, like I couldn't find the gift card online, so I said, "Hey, we're just gonna go, and you can spend this amount." And so she's brought this up several times. She's like, "Hey, what about my Mother's Day present?" So she said it a couple of times this weekend. So I've been thinking about
Mother's Day. Yeah.
So
that's so funny.
It blended together.
Ooh, yeah.
Mother and Father's Day.
Happy belated.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Birthday for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Father's Day.
That's right.
Father's Day. All on the same day.
Yeah, it was a big day yesterday. Yeah.
It was.
I always said I was my dad's Father's Day present.
That's true.
Because it always fell right around the same time.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. That's great.
Now you're mine.
Now, people don't know that we record on Monday morning, so I just had this thought of you guys have to make sure that you don't get into any kind of disagreements.
Little tiff.
Sunday night, no little tiss.
Yeah.
On Monday morning over coffee.
Yeah.
What's your strategy on that?
Well, that is a good point, because you got to come in here. Like some people come to church, you know, screaming and yelling at the kids, trying to get everybody ready, and then you walk in and you put a smiley face on at church, you know.
Yeah.
But we can't do that and have an argument or a disagreement and then come in here. The strategy is I just leave before she gets up, so I just
you don't see each other.
But we don't.
You try to be invisible.
No, we don't. Yeah.
In all honesty, though, we really don't argue a lot in the morning.
No.
Do you feel like we
don't? No, we don't argue a lot.
But I'm also not. I can't pretend either. So if I'm mad or if we're in a little bit of a tiff, you're going to be able to tell, because I can't not.
Yeah, we don't let things go long.
I think that's a blessing.
No, yeah, for sure.
That's a blessing. But Josie and I are like that. Like you'll see it on my shoulder. Like, what's wrong? Yeah, I'm not going to pretend.
Right. I
don't put the fake smile on.
No, we try to get it over because you only hurt yourself. So we are quick to forgive, even though it's painful. The pain of disconnection is worse than the pain of being, you know, at odds with one another. So I'd rather just say I messed up. And so sorry.
Well, some of that's the enemy. You talked about coming to church. I mean, don't you think, too, the enemy tries to get into those opportunities, especially like with you guys coming here and you're preparing for this? And
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So we are moving on. No arguments today. Thank God.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the strategy, folks, if you're wondering, do not speak to each other in the morning.
Yeah.
Slow playing.
Now, Candy asked, I said this.
Coffee first.
I said this at church, but Candy asks questions in the morning. She doesn't just ask questions on the podcast. She is regularly after her Bible, which I like it because it challenges me, but we have a rule in the house because normally as soon as she normally beats me up to read in the morning. So most mornings. But she's normally waiting there with her coffee and her red glasses, Vivian, and she says, "Honey, I try to
give them a minute.
Well, right. you never.
But
used
in my mind,
to.
It depends on how important the question is, and so I'm like,
a literal minute.
I got to give
seconds.
Him just a second, well, but then I'm like, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to ask him when I think he's ready, and so I'm just kind of sitting over there waiting, you know, and then like I'll be like. Honey. When you get a minute.
Yep. That's her hair journals. Questions
I got a question.
For Robbie.
Yeah,
questions
for Robbie.
Yeah, that's right. Right. And the thing is, we got a new rule. No question before coffee. So the new rule. Yeah. So
I think everybody should institute that. That's probably good.
That is a good rule. All right. We are finally going to use our illustrative minds.
Here we go.
To draw out Psalm 1. That was the homework assignment.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's right.
We talked about how the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim basically lay out the picture of what God's trying to teach us. Didn't we say that, Robert? I think we talked about that.
Yeah,
we talked
that was about homework for people to illustrate Psalm 1.
Yeah, so the Torah, just to recap, the Hebrew Bible is divided into three sections, the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. The Torah is another word for direction, way, or law. That's what it means. So God gives you direction for prosperity and abundance and victory. So the first section is the law. Then you get to the Nevi'im, which is the section of the prophets. The prophets do not start with, you would think, Jeremiah, Isaiah. They actually start with Joshua, prophetic word of Joshua, and leading the people into the promised land. And we talked about how Joshua begins with, do not be discouraged, the Lord is with you. You shall meditate on, if you want success, you shall meditate on the law day and night. Remember this, and it'll go well for you. So we have right out the gate the law. God sets the word up with the law, the Torah. Then Joshua, right out the gate, you have meditate on the law, and you obey the law, and God will give you prosperity. So the last section, which was our homework, is the Ketuvim, which is another word for writings. Writing with an eem is writings. And God begins that with the book of Psalms. Got a question already?
She got a question. Here
just,
we go.
Just want to clarify.
She's already had her coffee.
I'm sorry.
And so have you. So
and I have mine. So now
questions are allowed.
I just want to make sure I'm thinking of this correctly.
Okay.
So when they say,
which people tell us, we were at the Southern Baptist Convention for our Replicate Ministry and our Forgotten Jesus promotion, and we came in contact with lots and lots of people who love the podcast.
They were encouraging
her
to do more questions.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't there. Yeah, I'm not making this up. I had at least 40 people, 30, 40 people, I'm not making this up, would stop me and say, hey, I got a question. I thought they really had a question. And I
You're
said,
so
oh,
used to it.
Yeah, I'm like, what's the question? They said, no, I got a question. Where's Candy?
Yeah,
I was like, okay. But they told us, we love Candy because she asks the questions we're asking.
Everybody's thinking,
heard that before. Okay, so Candy, what's your question?
So when they're saying obey the law, it'll go well with you, you know, and focusing on that. You're talking about the law is the 613 commandments.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure
And remember, I clarified this recently in a message. I talked about how the misunderstanding, we talk about this in the podcast a lot, but the misunderstanding is that the Jews in the Old Testament were saved by the law. And then in the New Testament, God hit the reset button and started over with Jesus and said, well, Jesus came. We don't need that dirty old nasty law anymore.
Right.
Jesus is the fulfillment. And so the law's done. And so the Old Testament, you believe by works in the law. New Testament, you believe by faith in Jesus. And it's two systems. That's actually a form of dispensationalism where there's, which basically just means seasons. And dispensationalism, and if you heard my Revelation series, you know I don't ascribe to this for a number of reasons. But one is, it means God has two different covenants. God treats two different people differently, like treats the Jews one way and the Christians or Gentiles another. And I don't think that's the case. Why? Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why would God change his mind? Do you want to follow a God who decides the people that he loves, the ones he chooses, the apple of his eye, the son he called Israel that he bore? Do you think God would make it harder for them and yet easier for us? What kind of God is that? No way. And secondly, what kind of God changes his mind?
Right.
Okay, you got to remember, the Jews and Jesus, well, you probably say, well, it looks like God changed his mind with Jesus. He never changed his mind with Jesus. He was showing them that this is the promised Messiah in the Old Testament, their only testament that has come, and they missed him. It's not because they were trying to follow a law to be saved. Now, let me just clarify. So what was the purpose of the law? The law didn't save you, but the law was a way for direction and prosperity and victory. God's saying there's two ways to live. You can choose death and adversity, Joshua, or you could choose life and abundance. It's your choice. And life and abundance is when you do things God's way in God's work, God blesses. The favor of God's upon you. It's going to go better for you than if you live by the world standards. That's the purpose of the law. And I'll say one more thing. I didn't say this in the sermon, but I'll say this. This is proof that they didn't earn their salvation. Okay, think about it. It's the Passover Pentecost paradigm, and you have to remember this. And it's a wonderful picture in the New Testament, but it started in the Old. Now watch this. And we could draw, I think I have a picture we can put up, Robert, to help you. I think it's from my book, Here and Now. I think it's in there, but watch this. And I got this from Dr. Dwight Pryor from JC Studies, who's my mentor. Dr. Pryor says this. He says, when did God redeem Israel? Okay, this is a good audience participation question. When did God redeem Israel? Or when did God, quote, save Israel? When was Israel saved? I'm gonna give you a clue, it's an Exodus. When was Israel saved?
When they
I feel like that's
Egypt.
A trick yeah. question.
Yeah, I was first going to say when Jesus died on the cross.
I was going to say before the beginning
the opportunity.
Of time.
Okay, well, these two. So one has the cross, which is true. He saved them completely, fully. And then Candy has before. Candy went straight sovereignty before the foundation of the world. Both are true. But
right. But
the Jewish people look at Passover as God's redemption. Did the Jews... kill the Jews have anything to do with killing the firstborn son and moving Pharaoh to let him go? Of course not. That was God's doing.
Right.
God was the one who set them free. Now they had to respond in obedience with the blood on the door, but it was God's work. No one left. Think about this. No one left marching toward the Mount Sinai and said, "Man, way to fight there, Yochanan. You really took out." No.
Mm-mm.
You know, way to wield that sword in your hand, you know, Simeon.
Mm-mm.
No, nobody said. Everybody got out. Everybody walked through the Red Sea. And then if you thought anything to do yourself, God says, let me part the water and let me show you who's going to save you. I am. Ooh. So nobody got through the water and hit dry land and said, it's all about us. They looked and said, why they sang. Exodus 15, the song of Moses says, God is the one. God did all the work. And then you have our God reigns. That's how he sings this song. And it shows, people ask me, when did the kingdom of God come to earth? There. Mm. That's a whole nother sidebar. Again, all this is in my favorite book I thought I wrote that no one bought.
Which is out of print now, right?
It's totally out of print. You can only get it on digital form, but it's called Here and Now. I talk about all this in
Here
and Now.
Well, I was going to say, Forgotten Jesus, the beginning, lays out a lot of what you're talking about the cultural connections between Jewish and Christianity. We talked about this earlier, just like Paul's beginning life.
You're talking about the book I wrote.
Yeah,
Forgotten Jesus. The podcast is based on a book.
I mean, the beginning of this lays all this stuff out, and
right.
I think it's very clear and concise. I love the way it's written. But it talks a lot about, we talked about yesterday or a couple of days ago, how Paul's beginning life was very similar to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would think that. I mean, there's this big divide between Jewish culture and Jewish history and the temple and Christians today.
Yeah.
And it's because of Western culture, but the reality is it's the foundation of everything we do. And you taught us a couple podcasts ago about the goal. Remember Jesus, the commandments, the goal is Jesus, right? We talked about in Romans. So
yeah, Jesus is the end of the Torah. We misinterpret end meaning period, but it actually means goal. He's going to show you what it looks like to live out the Torah.
Yeah.
And he was the perfect man. He had the perfect life. He had the abundant life.
And don't you think, like with the Sermon on the Mount, because he says, I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And then he kind of goes into the whole Sermon on the Mount. So it's kind of like a reinterpretation of the law.
That passage, we're going to get there, I promise you, but that is in my mind, there are three big lines of the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to unpack that are crucial. Number one is Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you what?
You will never
inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, now we think wrongly inherit means future, but it means, I think, today. You're going to come into your inheritance and enjoy the benefits. Number two, the second line is, do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I haven't come to abolish, I've come to
fulfill.
Therefore, I tell you, if anyone breaks the least of these commandments, so what he's saying there is crucial. And then the final one is Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness. So those are the three big ones in the Sermon on the Mount. Everything hinges on those. We'll get to those, obviously. But my point here is this. God redeemed them at Passover. Watch this, okay? Then God led them to a mountain called Sinai, and the rabbis believe, and the Jewish culture does, that God gave the law to the nation on Pentecost. Now, he doesn't formalize that festival till after, but it's common rabbinical belief. Again, I talk about this, I think, in The Forgotten Jesus, but I talk about how, and I count the days in The Forgotten Jesus. If you want to know how I get there, I actually show you from the text how you can count the days. He leaves when they cross the water, when they go to the mountain, wait 3 days. They get there in day 46, wait 3 days, go up on the last day, the 50th day. That's when God gives the Torah. But the point is, He redeems them on Passover, right, by setting them free. They did nothing killing the firstborn son, the blood of Passover. He leads them to Mount Sinai to give them revelation of who he is. Mount Sinai is the revelation as the Torah comes down from heaven, the word of God comes down from heaven to Moses. And then when Moses comes off the mountain, I think it's Exodus 34, and Moses says, "This is the word of God. Will you obey it?" That's the marriage ceremony that's happening between God and the people. And the people literally say, like a wedding, "We will do," meaning "I do." They basically say, "I do, we'll do it." And that is responsibility. Now watch this. Redemption at Passover, revelation at Pentecost, responsibility on the end. So the question is, were the Jews saved by works? No way. God saved them.
Right.
The law, the revelation of God. Now let's take it to the New Testament. Jesus dies on Passover, and it's his blood that secures our redemption once and for all. Does anybody save themselves? No, Jesus died on the cross. Then you get to, of course, Pentecost, where the law doesn't come down from heaven, but the Spirit comes down from heaven, which is the law written on your heart.
Yes.
And then you're going to love this. And then when Peter comes down from the mountain after they hear this sermon, just like Moses, the sermon, they say, "What must we do? Tell us the marriage covenant." And Peter doesn't say, "Believe in a laundry list of 613 commands." He says, "Repent and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized and you will be saved." Right. So what you have is this picture. It's always been about redemption and faith in a Messiah or a promise that God's going to redeem us. It's always been that way, okay?
That's good. So good.
Yeah.
What Paul says in Romans 12, that's what he's trying to communicate. Mm-hmm. He says, think about this, in view of God's mercy, present your body as a
living sacrifice.
So when you talk about present, where would you do that at? The temple. Where did you go to present your body?
Mm-hmm.
At the temple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's speaking in their language. And he says, a living sacrifice. When would you ever bring a living sacrifice to the temple?
Yeah.
They go there to die.
Yeah.
So he's trying to flip this script, and he's saying, hey, a surrendered life to God is so much more viable, so much more prosperous.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the inner man.
Good.
Gotta make
all right, I'm gonna give you you went there, so I'm gonna give you an insight here.
I'm scratching the surface. Okay. I need you to bring the show.
No, you got me thinking. That's really good because you got me thinking. Okay, now listen. Some of these ideas have not been like processed and meditated on, so I'm gonna give you a fresh insight that I read this somewhere recently, and I haven't thought about it. So if it's heretical, don't email me. Okay, I'm still processing.
Email Robert.
Yeah. Email robert.hutchison at.
And you say, start with, Jesus. I have a question.
That's
the subject.
No, but I think, I would not say it if I don't think it's right. I do think there's something to consider. Okay, think about this. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we've always said, in view of the mercy of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord.
Holy and acceptable.
Holy acceptable, which is your spiritual act of worship, or which is your reasonable act of service, it says.
Right.
Okay, different versions say. One says worship, one says service. The answer is, which one is it? They're both right, okay? Because people, you have to remember, worship for a priest was service to God. So they worshiped God as a priest
by serving in the temple,
with the lighting of the incense, serving by baking the bread, serving by shoveling the sand or the salt. Now watch this. So we've always read Romans 12 like this. Present your bodies to Jesus. That's how I've always read it. I said, listen, God says, present your bodies to Jesus as a living sacrifice. And I was reading recently, and this author, the Hebraic author, said, that cannot be correct, the Messianic Hebraic author. He said, that cannot be correct. Number one is, Jesus doesn't accept sacrifices anymore because he paid, watch this. Yeah. He paid the sacrifice on the cross, which ended the sacrificial system. And furthermore, why would you be presenting Jesus anything sacrificially? So that's the first thing. I thought, oh, that's interesting. But the second thing is, why a living sacrifice? Now, think about this. Another point he made is this. Why would you be presenting a sacrifice to Jesus when Jesus, or presenting your body to Jesus, when Jesus already has a body? And God, in a sense, obviously is different, but who is the part of the Godhead that fills the human body? The Spirit.
Okay,
now watch this. So what I was reading, I can't remember who I got this from, but they were saying, when Paul says, and now he just got out of Romans 8, where he talked about the Holy Spirit. It's all filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit prays for us. The Spirit groans. The Spirit leads us. Then we get to Romans 12. And he said, what I think he's saying in view of what Christ has done, present your bodies to the Holy Spirit, not Jesus, to the Spirit, which is Christ, obviously, power on earth, so that the Spirit can fill you. Why a living sacrifice? Because a living sacrifice is one that can continually presents itself again, yields itself again, offers itself again, which is exactly what Paul says in Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled. That word be is actually the word be being filled.
Yeah.
It means a continual, daily, all the time, controlling and filling. So it's a different perspective of Romans 12, but think about this. Could he be saying, present yourselves to the Holy Spirit so that he can use you and live through you? Now watch this. How's that? Why do I think that's right? Because it says this is your act of worship. Now worship makes us think of singing. That's not what it is.
Right.
Worship is serving, service, ministering, yes, devotion, preaching, yes, teaching, drawing close to God. That makes a lot of sense to me that the Holy Spirit would be the one to fill you.
I was just going to say, I definitely think that that could be right, because the whole reason that we are alive today spiritually is because of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
True. Yeah.
And so that's why we have new life and new birth, right? You know, like Jesus was raised from the dead, and then now we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so we are walking, living, I don't want to say sacrifice, because we didn't do anything.
Don't think of sacrifice still as like a dead animal on an altar. Think of a sacrifice as something dear and near to you that you are giving to the Lord. Right. Think of it more. Don't think of a dead animal.
It's a surrendering. You're surrendering. Yeah. Yeah. It's a daily surrender is what this is, right?
Well, I think something that also builds on that is what he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we talked about this. Renewing, when you look up the Greek word, it means renovate.
Yeah. So I just went through this. Me too.
But the thing is, I just renovated my house. So the whole point is, when you get rid of everything,
how do you renovate? Yeah.
Well, you get rid of everything in your house, but what's the next step? Something you have to put new things inside.
Back, yeah.
Yes.
So I think it follows along with what you're saying, because we get rid of the old, the Holy Spirit comes in, and that's the new, and it renovates our mind, and so that we may be able to discern. We can't discern without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We can't please God and know His perfect will without the Holy Spirit. Also, I don't know how the Word of God ties in there. I mean,
I'm going to show you.
Yeah, here we go.
You got
teach
my brain.
Us that part.
You got the light bulbs clicking right
this
now.
This is so good, because I've been working on this same passage, because I've been reading it, you know, like in our reading, and I haven't been able to really move past it, because I'm still like just pondering
these two verses.
And so I'm like, I like to alliterate. So I'm thinking, that's why I said it's the surrendering. And then you go from surrendering, which is a daily thing, to separating yourself from the world, because that's what he says, do not be conformed to this age, right? So there has to be some sort of a separation, and there has to be some sort of difference in us, that where we look different than the world that we're in, because we're in it, not of it, right? And then you get to this renewing of your mind, which to me is obviously
sanctification.
It's a shaping of your mind, which is an active thing that we continually do by being in the Word and obviously serving and having community, all these things. But there's nothing that will shape and change and shift and renew your mind like the Word of God every single day of our life.
And that's how we're attacked too. The cares, so our enemy is trying to get us to think differently. When the serpent comes to Eve, he says, did God say that?
Did he really say?
He's trying to change our thinking back to the world to pull us away from God.
Yeah.
And there's probably people listening, probably people in prison or in jail think that, you know, of all the past, all the things that we've done wrong, I've done wrong, our sin. But the truth is that when the Holy Spirit comes in, he can change you.
Yes.
He can we may have been lived one way for many, many years, but God could come in and renew us and renovate and change us. I think this is where we live on a day-to-day basis, too, is this constant renewal of our mind, because it doesn't go away. Like, if I can live 7 days surrendered to God, but I still have to get up today and keep the practice of renewing my mind.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. And so
so next time, honey, I want to renovate, just say.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. So the question then becomes, is there a connection between renewing the mind through the word, which is implied there, and the Holy Spirit? Is there a synonymous connection? And there is. And we have a gift here in the book of Colossians. So, Candy, you go to Ephesians 5. Adam, you go to Colossians. Watch this. I'm going to show you Paul. Because we have the body of the canon of Scripture, we have multiple letters written by the same people. So we can compare their grammatical techniques and the use of the language, and we can see what they're doing. Now, Paul's going to give us a gift here. He starts with Ephesians 5. And then we're going to get to Colossians 3, but I want you to start, Candy, with Ephesians 5:18. Now, if you're listening, I want you to listen for the connections here, because you're going to see them in Colossians. So read Ephesians 5:18.
Okay. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of Christ.
Okay. So what he's saying here, he's giving them a strategy for how to live. And he says, don't be drunk with wine. So he's saying, he's using an analogy, just like wine or alcohol will control you, you become led in a way that you are not in full control over. Mm-hmm. The same way, in a sense of what he's saying, is that the wine will supersede your natural faculty, your ability to lead.
Which, side note here, you know I like to get on my soapbox about this, but this is not rocket science here. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living. Any questions?
Okay.
Ooh. Do you know what I'm saying? PSA. I'm like, I'm so tired.
Can we drop the mic?
I get so tired of this argument, you know, with drinking.
A PSA for why drinking ruins you. Yeah, you're talking to three of us.
I think that's a good place.
Three of us who know that.
It's
personally.
Like.
And those who are listening, if you're sitting in a prison cell right now, here's the reality. 99%, and we don't have facts completely, but I'm pretty sure somebody's done a study, but we've done anecdotal studies ourselves and research. I would say 99% of the people sitting in jail right now or behind bars would say they could trace some form or fashion of why they're there to drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, a substance.
Period.
Absolutely.
Period.
Because it alters the way you think. It alters the way your body functions. And you do all of those things most of the time when you are altered by a substance than you would if you were completely 100% sober.
It's not a wise decision, as Robbie always, his sermon is, it's not wise. And David used to say, he says, look, I got a hard enough time making good decisions in my right mind, much less when I put something in my mind that keeps me from making decisions.
Yeah.
But could you keep going? I love where you were going with this, because I think it encompasses it all.
Okay, so we know these two passages are connected and very similar because of the end. And Candy read this. We admonish one another with teaching through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing,
making music with our heart.
Now watch this. I want you to read Colossians 3, verse 15. Now watch this.
What were you saying, though? I think this is what you're going to say. You can tell me if not. Were you saying that, hey, when you drink, it sort of takes over your mind, takes over your decisions, but if you're in the Word and the Holy Spirit, that does the same thing? Or where were you going there?
Yeah, what I'm
saying. Because I want our listeners to hear that.
Yeah, what he's saying is, he's using an example. It's actually, there's a Hebrew term for this. It's not a Val Comer illustration. He's making a one-to-one comparison. So what he's saying is, you guys know what it's like to be controlled or led by something. Under the influence.
Yes.
There you go. That's a better word. You know what it's like to be under the influence of something. I'm saying don't do that. That's not good or wise for you to do. However, we've all been there.
Sure.
Most of the hearers. So in the same way that you are controlled under the influence of alcohol. You need to have the Holy Spirit lead, control, direct your paths in a similar
yes.
fashion.
Well,
that's what he's saying. Yes.
That's powerful.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I love
and
that.
There's other ways to be... There's other ways to cope, because a lot of people cope in life, you know, with alcohol or with so many things. But you can learn a breathing technique,
yeah.
deep breaths. But I mean, like, it's so replace what you're coping with something that is good for you, the word, worship music, learning how to breathe. I mean, there are a lot of
things.
This
is so good.
Yeah, there are a lot of things you can do to put yourself in an environment where the Lord is speaking. And the whole point of the passage we read with renewing of your mind is so you may discern what is the will of God. You can't discern what the will of God is if you're not even in your right faculties, because you're coping with some sort of it could be anything, drugs, alcohol, relationship, job, whatever.
It satisfies.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing on planet Earth that will satisfy our soul. Like what? Like God.
Yeah, like Jesus. It's
the fullness.
There's no comparison. No comparison.
Yeah, you can think of it this way. Anything you're using to satisfy or fulfill that has an end or is terminal or can be emptied, it will always leave you empty.
Correct. Mm.
Meaning, if you get a pill bottle and there's 30 pills in the bottle, at the end of that 30 days, or if you were like me, 2 weeks, you'd go through them quickly. If you can get to the end of an empty bottle, it always is going to leave you empty. If you can drink to the end of an empty beer can, it will always leave you empty. That's why the Word of God always satisfies, because it never runs dry.
Come on.
It never leaves you empty. Jesus said, out of me flows rivers, unending rivers of living water. And you and I, and Candy, we've had experience with trying to use temporal things to satisfy a spiritual problem.
Come on.
And it won't do that. So...
Yes.
Yeah, and we've forgotten that. I mean, I know you say the forgotten Jesus is connecting Rabbi Jesus to our current system, our current culture. But the reality is we've forgotten.
Mm-hmm. We're forgetting.
But we've forgotten that Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
He truly is. He's the answer to alcohol, to drugs, to all these things. And we try to figure out another way. Now, there's other methods that are helpful. But Jesus has the power to change.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'll say one more thing. We have enough temptations and challenges without alcohol and drugs in our life,
exactly.
or gambling or whatever, any vice in our life. And so I already have enough challenges. If I had those, they would be open doors that I don't need, that I would be self-inflicting upon myself. But the thing is, I haven't drank alcohol in 22 years, by God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
By God's grace.
Miracle. And it's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. And I'll tell you, I look back and I think, there was never a time when I drank alcohol where I woke up the next morning and said, man, I just made the greatest decisions of my life.
Never.
Man, I invested in the right stocks. I talked to the right people. I texted at the right time.
Yeah.
No.
You're not alone. Nobody's ever said that.
But I have woken up saying, what just happened?
Well,
did I text that person later? Did I call? Yeah. So anyway.
Well, and just saying, it does say in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this age. So if there's one, there's not many ways we can be completely different than the world around us.
That's true.
And for us, like, I mean, obviously you're a recovering addict, but to refrain from drinking is just one small way that we can be set apart, different, you know? So like, and that comes up a lot in our life with conversations or whatever, where people will ask, you know, about like, and we're like, we don't drink.
I'll tell you, I'm discipling a guy right now in the country music world, and he has been sober for over a year. And I told him
that was mind-blowing, and that industry is so hard, bizarre.
It is a miracle. But I told him the other day, because I know the Lord's using him, obviously. But I said, listen, the greatest message, I was praying for him, the greatest message you preach, it may not be you standing in front of 60,000 people in an arena preaching the gospel like some of these guys do, and then go drink and party and womanize in the back.
And throw the F-bomb.
Yeah, and he don't want to be hypocritical. That's what I love about it. I told him the other day, I said, the greatest sermon you're going to preach is a sober lifestyle. I said, because you know, think about this. I said, because every time you're around someone in the country music world, it is bizarre, by the way. And I would say Christian music world is not far. He was telling me they wake up in the morning and drink mimosas and Bloody Marys around 10 o'clock when they get up. Then they go eat lunch. And sometimes they have a liquor lunch, which is all liquor. Then they go to the studio in the afternoon and there's beer and booze the whole night drinking. It's around the clock. That's the world they live in. And I told him, have you ever been around someone before? And I used to do this years ago. When you'd go out to the club with your friend and that one guy says, hey, I'm not going to drink today. I'm just going to drink water. And you're like, what's wrong with this joker? Are you a goofball? Come on. It bothers you. Now, you make fun of him and you pick at him. But the reason you're picking at him is because it's convicting to you.
It's a mirror. It is.
And I said, bro, you just walk in a room and everybody is getting hammered and you're like, no, I'm good. That is a message to the world. And so if you're listening.
In any setting, right? In any setting.
Yeah.
In any setting, yeah.
No, isn't it amazing? I really think this goes back to the author of Confusion. It's amazing as Candy started this whole conversation with saying, hey, it's pretty simple here, right?
Right.
It's pretty, you know, cut and dry that people struggle with that. They say, well, the Bible says, it doesn't say don't drink.
Right.
It just says don't be a drunkard.
Drunk, yeah.
Don't be a drunkard.
Yeah.
And I think there's the reason why people struggle with that is because we don't want to accept the truth because it doesn't fit the truth that we want to play out in our lives.
Right. And in society, it doesn't fit society, but we're not supposed to fit.
Conform to this age.
We're in the world, not of the world. And that's like a constant battle with our culture and with what society teaches, what peers teach. I mean, it's like the world is discipling us and our children all day long. And if we don't get with it and be influenced and surrendered and filled with the Holy Spirit, then we're not doing what we should be doing as being in the world but not of the world, right?
Well, that just gave me a picture. Think about this. Robbie's a big guy, former UFC guy. You don't want to get in a tussle with Robbie, right? Well, think about this. There's a roaring a lion who is walking around, and he's looking for us. Do you want to be in your right mind, ready and steady, with a sword, with a shield, to fight? Or do you want to be walking around drinking, smoking weed, popping pills?
Yeah.
That's why our lives keep getting destroyed. That's why we end up in prison. That's why we can't. Yesterday was Father's Day. That's why we have so many absent fathers. You know, like, and you and I, we were one step away, one decision away from missing the opportunities that we have today.
Right.
So I know we parked there for a minute, but I think it's needed.
And I would just say, too, there's no judgment here from any of us on this podcast to anyone out there, because we're speaking from experience, unfortunately, right? We have experienced this. We have participated. We have partook. There are things that I have done in my past because I was drunk and not completely in my right mind that I regret to this day. Mm-hmm. And I am ashamed of those things. I can't go back and undo those things, right? I can only change moving forward. And so there's no judgment. This is like, hey, you have to figure out what God is telling you when it comes to some of these things, but and be sensitive to what God is telling you, and do not be afraid to obey him, because God honors obedience, right? And he's not going to take away all those memories or whatever those things are that you may be recovering from, but he will give you a path forward. And if you stay surrendered and yielded to the Spirit, your whole entire life changes.
That's good. And there's so much loss behind it. You know, my father, sometimes I'll be driving and tear up and I'll be grieving, because grief is a journey. How you grieve now changes how you grieve 5 years from now, because we change.
Yes.
But I grieve what he's missing out. Mm. My father died of cirrhosis.
Mm. Mm. Yep.
He drank himself to death as a Christian.
Mm. Wow.
Baptized in Sunday morning, independent. You know.
That, yeah, I think that's possible.
You know what I'm saying? And so the thing is that, you know, there's so much pain and devastation. So we're not here. I love. Thank you for saying that, because we're not here going, don't drink. We're saying, look at what happens. The evidence of when you do these things, it's pain, destruction, devastation. Life is hard and nothing's going to be perfect, but you can have a satisfaction and a sufficiency in God when we step away from those things.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good. And drinking's not a sin, obviously.
Sure.
The Bible's clear on that. But it's the abuse of alcohol and drunkenness. And the problem with me is I never knew the difference between buzzed and plastered. Because for me, it was pretty great. You know, once I, you know, and the problem is, once you get buzzed, you can't stop any, so you lose all control. Okay, which leads perfectly. Do not be filled with wine.
Or controlled
by Colossians 3:5.
Okay, now watch this. Now I want you to read Colossians 3:5. Just to remember what Ephesians said was, speaking to one another in psalm, be filled with the Spirit. Therefore, you'll speak with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making music with your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks to God. Now, listen to what Paul says in Colossians
3:5, right?
Yep.
Okay.
3:15.
3:15. Oh,
sorry, 3:15.
All right, here we go. All right. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful.
Okay. Keep going. Watch this.
Let the word of Christ. I can't speak today. I don't know. I had too much tea this morning. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another.
Here it is.
Through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your heart.
Okay.
Love it, love
literally, literally, watch this. It's like Paul copy and pasted this line. He changed one line, though. You ready for this? He changes one section. In the Ephesians passage, he says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you will then speak in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and you'll be grateful. Watch this. In Colossians, he doesn't say be filled with the Spirit. What does he say?
Let the word.
Word.
Okay.
Dwell richly.
Watch this.
This goes back to Romans 12. Okay, tell us.
Yes. This is the key. So what he's saying is, in Colossians and Ephesians, he says be filled with the Spirit. In Colossians, he says be filled with the word, or let the word of Christ dwell, which means meditate, think about, abide. So the question is, which one is it? Is it you need to be filled with the Spirit and you'll speak and encourage and be grateful? Or is it you need to be in the word until the word gets into you? And the answer is
both.
A rabbi would say yes.
Yes, yes. Y'all get it now.
If he read Forgotten Jesus.
You're getting it now. Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive. They're one and the same.
Yes, they are exactly the same. So people ask me, that's our buzzer.
That's
we're still gone though. We're
timer.
Still gone.
Whoa.
I don't know why that thing does it. But here's the thing. I would say the way you can know that you're filled with the Spirit is one of the ways you can't like make God do things. You can't manipulate the hand of God. However, you can create an environment where God will bless, God will pour out his presence, God will manifest himself. And the way we do that is when we dwell richly in the word of God. That's how I always say, get into the word until the word gets into you. What I'm saying is, dwell in the word of God. And when you dwell in the word of God, you'll be filled with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God inspired and wrote the word of God. And when you do that, you're going to live the kind of life God provides for you. Now, I want to end with this.
Good. I have one more question.
That's strong.
In these passages, both of these passages where Paul says singing and making music with your heart, you know, like spiritual psalms, hymns, most of the songs they sang were the word, right?
Yeah.
They sang psalms literally, correct? They were like psalms.
Well, that's why he starts with through psalms.
So they're singing
hymns.
These hymns and stuff that they're singing. Now, maybe not all of them, but a majority of them were actually inspired scripture as well.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example of a hymn. Somebody says, what's
which
a hymn?
Which is like our
then?
Songs today. You know, like a lot of artists today, they're creating songs based on certain scripture passages. So when you're singing those, a lot of cases, you're actually singing parts of the word, you know, which it makes it so powerful.
Yeah. So what is that? So a hymn back then would be Paul. They think Paul included Philippians 2. He did not think equality with God a thing to be grasped. How's it start?
He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross.
Yeah, but it says, have this mind that is in Christ that is also in you. Although he was in the form of God, did not think equality of God a thing to be grasped. I had it right, but took on the form of a servant, being found in the likeness of man, and being found in the likeness of man, he went to a cross
became obedient to death?
Yeah, obedient even to the point of death on the cross. Therefore, God highly, I'm quoting
him. Exalted him.
Okay, here's the point. That was an early hymn the church sang.
Oh, wow.
So that was a hymn they believed the church would sing. Yeah, it was an early hymn, and then Paul includes it in Philippians. So that's what he's talking about there. Okay, I want to finish with one thing about the Holy Spirit that people, I know we're over time, but I want to finish with this. Because people always say, what is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? What is the evidence of that? And
you've heard,
I know it.
And people have heard this, and they'll say, well, according to my brothers in the charismatic movement, they'll say you got to be filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues.
Flop like a fish, right?
You got to flop. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's the abuse.
Scratch that. Scratch
that's
that
the
from
abuse.
The,
no, well.
Scratch that
I
from
mean,
the
that's kind of the abuses of some of it. Yeah.
The
yeah. And I don't want to critique those areas, but when I watch some of these services of people flailing and flipping and running and crying and screaming and have the spirit of laughter, with all due respect, it's like, is that what would have happened with Paul? Like, would Paul go into church and see that? Would the apostles, like, would that be something they would allow? Oh, I got the spirit of laughter, and I'm just laughing, mm-hmm. cackling while the pastor.
I mean, it wasn't even acceptable for a man to run.
True.
Right.
True. Or a woman to walk in church without her hair cut. But anyway,
so to
okay.
So be flailing or dancing around in, anyway, let's move
okay,
on.
Okay, let's move back
on. Sorry,
okay.
To interrupt. Sorry.
So let's take what the Bible says, okay?
Yes. Okay.
Let's take what the Bible, not experience, not what we think, not what the mega church, you know, they're large. I've got to be right. Let's take what the Bible says. So we have a great gift in that Luke and Acts are written by the same guy. And some people think back in the day there were literally one book it was one long scroll that would travel. Later they divided it up in the Acts of Jesus, or the Gospel of Jesus, Good News of Jesus, and the Acts of the Holy Spirit is really what it is, not Apostles of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
That's what Acts is, the Acts of Holy Spirit working through people. In that two books, in those two books, Acts and the Gospels, Luke is going to use a word 8 times. That means be filled, or filled with, or controlled by, or okay. take possession of. Okay. If you're interested in this, it's the word pimplami, P-I-M-P-L-A-Y-I, pimplami, P-I-M-P-L-A-M-P-P-L-A-Y-M-I, pimplami. Sorry.
One more time.
Yeah. Pim,
I can't spell
me.
So.
Okay, yeah. Adam and I cannot speak today. Yeah. Okay. So every time you see this word "pim play me" in Luke, and it happens in Luke 3 times, and it happens in Acts, 5 times. Okay. When you see this word followed or preceding the word Holy Spirit, so filled, pim play me, Holy Spirit. Every time you see this, it is followed by one thing. Mm. Every single time. Pim play me, Holy Spirit. It's always followed by the same thing. And you know what it is? A bold proclamation of the Word of God. That's what it means. So when they were filled with the Spirit, the next thing they did was speak the Word of God boldly. And I'll show it to you. I'll give you all of them real quick. We don't have time. But Luke chapter 1, verse 13, this is Zechariah when he's praying. He's praying, and the Spirit of the Lord comes to him through an angel and says, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear a son, and he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Spirit of God from birth, and then he will go before in the power of Elijah. And the first one is harder because it's implied, but what he's saying is, and then he will speak and preach and turn the fathers to their sons and their sons to their fathers. Luke chapter 1, verse 39, in those days Mary set out to go see Elizabeth. When she got there, she was greeted. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then she cried out and exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and mm-hmm. your child is... Okay, that's that second one. Luke chapter 1:67, then Zechariah, after John was born, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied or preached. That's pretty easy. Then we get to Acts chapter 2. This is when the Holy Spirit falls. They're filled with tongues of fire. And it says they had a violent rushing wind, and the whole house was filled, and individuals were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, different tongues, as the Spirit enabled. Now, that word tongues, glossa or glossalia or glossalela, is the word that means languages. Tongues right. just means your dialect, the way you speak, your language. We know that's the case because later in the chapter it says they heard them in their
own
language.
Yes.
Acts chapter 4, verse 7, Peter and John stood up, began to be questioned, by what name and by what power do you do this? It says they were filled with the Spirit of God and spoke, you rulers and elders. If we are being examined for a good deed done, that section, okay? Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the whole place began to shake, and they fell on their face and floundered. Is that what it says?
So as they began to speak the word of God
boldly. Hello.
Come on.
They were filled, and good. Then they preached. They
this,
were filled.
This is good.
Acts chapter 9, verse 17. This is when Paul is confronted by Ananias. Ananias mm-hmm. placed his hands on Paul and said, "Brother Paul, you will begin to go on the road you were traveling. God sent me, so you regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Paul was filled with the Spirit and began immediately proclaiming Jesus in the synagogue. He is the Son of God. Amen. The last one, my personal favorite, Acts 13, 8 through 11, Elymas the sorcerer opposed Paul. He wanted to pay for the power of God. It says, "Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, looked straight at Elymas and preached to him, saying, 'You are full of every kind of deceit and trickery, you son of the devil.'" Mm. What are they all doing? Ooh. Every time a person is filled with the Spirit of God, they speak in the power of God, and they speak the word of God. That is biblical. That's and good. So takeaway. What am I doing to grow in my faith? Get in the word until the word gets in there. In fact, the fact that you're listening to this podcast shows you have a desire to grow.
And Jesus says it's not what comes in the mouth that defiles a man, it's what
comes out.
Comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
We just read that in Romans 14 today, and I made a note in my Bible. But in Romans 14, it says, "Therefore do not, or for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and join the Holy Spirit." And what I wrote down is, it's not what goes in the body, it's what exudes from the body. Mm. Joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit.
That's powerful. That's good stuff. Mm. All right, we'll stop right there. Thank you for listening and watching to the Forgotten Jesus podcast. Listen, if you're consuming this content, you're enjoying it, you're getting anything from it, please share it, write a review, let people know so we can get the word of God out more. Have a great day.